Good morning. A protest took place outside a Presbyterian church in Belfast last night. The protesters said it was because the church was hosting an event which promoted so-called gay conversion therapy. Now, the government's equalities office has described conversion therapy as wrong and says it's bringing forward proposals to end such practices in the UK. Mike Davidson is the director of the Christian group Core Issues Trust, who produced the film. Mike, good morning to you.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. Tell us what the film's about.
It's about Matthew Grech, a Maltese X Factor candidate who shared his Christian testimony and as part of that mentioned that he'd move away from homosexuality. And it led to a reaction in Malta, especially from Minister Dali, the equality minister there, who came down very hard on him.
And we see in this film the gay conversion therapy working, do we, in your view?
No.
In terms of it happening?
No, it's not. We don't practice whatever gay conversion therapy is. What we practice is supporting people who want to achieve their own goals. Sadly, conversion therapy is now a term for anybody who holds a contrary point of view. That's conversion therapy, whether it's a granny who holds a specific view or a minister or a therapist. But actually, therapy is not the issue. The issue is a competing worldview.
Well, therapy is the issue in that the principle of part of this film is to say that you can change from being gay to straight. Well, how do you do that?
You work through your issues and you decide on what you want and you go in that direction. And for many people, doing that leads to an enhanced and a happier life. Not for everyone. We're not saying it's for everyone, but some people want that and we think it's important to preserve that right and choice. It's about freedom and about pro-choice.
But how does someone leave their homosexuality behind, in your view?
They reduce very often, typically, certainly the people I see, they reduce how they are acting on those feelings. And as their behaviours change, in many cases, not in all, they find that their feelings dissipate. And when that happens...
When you say acting on their feelings, do you mean, Mike, not having sex?
No, they act on, they stop acting on their feelings in the sense that they stop whatever it is that is causing them stress. If it's pornography or if it's meeting up with individuals for sexual encounters, that comes to an end. And when that comes to an end, often the feelings begin to dissipate and more importantly, a sense of self-worth and self-esteem returns. Depression goes.
But you can't link homosexuality to self-worth, can you?
Well, the clients I have typically are full of shame, full of discouragement and hopelessness and feel they are not being listened to. When they go in the more traditional routes towards...
Why do you call them clients?
Well, because they are clients. They're people who come to me and who come for a purpose. They have a goal in their mind.
They come to you for gay conversion, do they?
They come for working through the issues. We explore their issues. And some of them do not want to continue. They want to just continue as they are. And that should be respected. And they should be helped to be the best people they can be, but some people want to go in a different direction.
And the people who come to you with a sense of shame, Mike, do you think that they might be helped rather than being told that they should convert from their sexuality? Do you think they might be helped if you told them they have nothing to be shamed about? Gay is just as good as homosexuality?
Well, as
heterosexuality, do you think that might help their shame if you said that?
Well, certainly they have to be unshamed and they have to realise that these are normal issues that some people face and the desire to move away from it is not an unhealthy desire in itself but needs to be looked at and we'd have to find out why they want to move.
But would you tell
pressure from a church or from a sibling? Sure. Or from a parent, that is not really a valid context in which we would want to work. It has to be their goal and their choice.
I think this is really interesting territory, really interesting. So you think, and you tell these people who come to you, that if they stay away from people of the same sex, their sexual desire will vanish. Is that right?
No, not at all. What they tell me is they sometimes meet up because of the ease with which that can be done through various apps, and it doesn't satisfy the deep emotional need that they have. They long to connect, to feel a part of the tribe of men, and when they try to achieve that through a sexual encounter, actually it doesn't resolve the issue, because in fact, they tell me, it is not a sexual issue, it is an emotional issue that they are trying to resolve through sexual activity.
And do you believe that if you were asked this question by one of your clients,
mm-hmm.
one of your clients said, I'm gay, is that normal? Is that natural? What would you say to them?
I would say I really understand that as a man myself who felt that these feelings were completely natural and I couldn't discern a time when they were not there. But what changed, I would tell them what worked for me, what began to work for me over a long period of time, and I would encourage them to recognize any time when it was different in their life, because many who come to me can remember a time when they were attracted to the opposite sex, and sometimes things have happened that pushes them in a new trajectory. And not all abused, but some of them have been abused, and that needs to be taken into consideration. That's why banning this therapy needs to be looked at very, very carefully.
Would you tell them it's natural to be gay?
I would tell them that those feelings need to be looked at, because it is possible that they mask underlying emotional needs and longings.
And equally, does a heterosexual equally have those longings and potential reasons for being heterosexual?
Well, certainly all human beings have underlying emotional issues that they try to perhaps quench or meet, some through food, some through substance abuse, some through sexual
Precisely. So why link being gay to that? So in other words, all human beings, which you've just conceded.
Yes, but I think this is an issue of choice, Stephen. Some people choose to be male when they're female. Society doesn't have a problem with people going in another direction.
Some people would tell you that that's deeply offensive to them, that they are born in the wrong body, and you know that.
Well,
of course, you're entitled to your opinion, but that's a different subject, isn't it?
No, it's the same. It's out of the same stable. It's about rights and freedoms, and if they are given those rights, then I would argue that we need to find a way not of banning such work, but of regulating it and providing an opportunity for a good practice in association with this. And if, you know, that means there has to be collegiality instead of shutting down on people who have a different approach to all of this.
Yeah, and we're not shutting you down. You're on the radio and you're being heard and you're up for being challenged. And that's why we're doing this morning. We all have sexual desire. Mm. So we all understand what sexual desire is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, can you switch your sexual desire on and off? Can you get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to fancy a man this morning. I'm going to fancy a tree this morning. I'm going to fancy a woman this morning. Can you just switch it on and off like a light switch?
Well, as a Christian, I have had to learn the significance and the importance of discipline. And one man's discipline is another man's repression. But here's the thing, Stephen.
No, that's not answering the question, though, is it? Can you choose what you're attracted to?
I certainly didn't choose what I was attracted to, but I recognized that I could have some choices around the way I expressed that.
By suppressing your normal, instinctive sexual desire.
Yes, I would say it was very natural for me to express myself in that way. But I found that I wanted to go in a new direction, certainly because of my Christian values, but also because it wasn't working for me, Stephen. And that's what I find with these people.
Often and maybe enough people weren't telling you it's okay to be gay.
Well, they were. And there's always been, even in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there has been a voice that has made exactly that point. But I wasn't comfortable. And I was married. You know, I've been married a long time now. And while I was married, I was conflicted and I had a choice to make. And I made my choice. And fortunately, I was given access to professional help that really did, I guess, honor what I wanted to do and supported me. And I think that that is a valid choice. It has to be checks and balances. I realize that many gay people will have suffered all sorts of things. But if we work in a way that we professionalize instead of criminalizing things, we have a better chance of controlling things so that people can safely try to achieve the goals that they want to.
Do you believe that if there are heterosexual people listening to this morning and they think to themselves, I'd like to dabble in a bit of gay, do you think they can equally get conversion therapy? When they come to you, would you do that?
No,
Would you attempt to convert them to gay?
Well, the thing is, Stephen, people do, don't they? They go in different directions. We know that sexuality is fluid. And population studies show that there are people at both ends of the spectrum, but the vast majority are in the middle. And we know from our own population studies that people who are identifying as gay at one point in their lives significantly move towards being partnered with the opposite sex. Now, we have to pay attention to that and realize, irrespective of any talk about therapy, there is a natural migration in that direction. And if that is the case, then we need to minister or we need to support people who want the help from professionals. But at the moment, there is such an ideological shutdown that nobody can train unless they hold the state ideology. Nobody can research, nobody can publish, and few people can do anything that, you know, will lead to critical and scientific interaction with people who disagree so that we can discern what is the right thing for everybody. Well, it's a very one-sided argument.
Maybe, Mike, that's because it's dangerous. Maybe it is exceptionally dangerous.
Well,
and maybe the state should be maybe the state should be protecting people.
Well, the state certainly should be protecting.
Hold on, let me finish the sentence. Maybe the state should be protecting people from being told that their sexuality is deviant, that their sexuality is wrong, that in order to lose the sense of shame for their sexuality, that they should get converted. Maybe that screws people up. Maybe that gives people deep psychological problems.
Well, we need to look.
And maybe people like you should say, do you know what? Live your life as you want to.
Well,
I noticed this morning, you're a very eloquent speaker, but you ducked and you dodged the simple question that if someone came into you seeking therapy, would you tell them it's normal and natural to be gay? That basic human being question.
Let me answer it. Would you let me?
I would, but please answer it. Would you tell someone, yes, you're normal?
I would say that the issues you are expressing are completely normal. What do you want to do with them? Because you have a right and a freedom to express them the way you would like to. And you should not be here if you feel compelled or if you feel that society is pushing you in this direction. This should be something that you want to do. And look, here are the people who disagree with me. This is what some groups are saying, this is what other groups are saying. And I would try to put the information before them on both sides so that their choice is protected. And that's what this is about, choice. In the end, they didn't choose the feelings. They have a right to choose the direction that they want to go in. So yes, homosexual feelings are in the normal range of human experience. The question is, what do you want to do with it?
030 30 80 55 55 is the number to call this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. In this film that was shown last night, Mike, what actually happened in it?
In the film, well, we just interviewed Matthew and some of his friends and some of those who support him, and we just talk about his experience and really what seemed to be an overreaction from Helena Dalli, the equality minister, who, you know, she came down on him personally for sharing this and complained from a position of the fact that Malta had banned conversion therapy in 2016. He wasn't talking about therapy. He was telling his story. He was telling something about his Christian experience.
But he got therapy.
He didn't get therapy. He simply, he is a man with a deep spiritual conviction, and his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ led him in the direction that he went. Those are his words.
Do you think you can be Christian, follow God's word, and be gay?
I think that there are many Christians who feel that that is possible, and the church clearly
is
divided. No, I don't believe that you can be true to the orthodox teaching of the Bible. And let me say this, Stephen. Neither does Loder, for example, who is a gay theologian, who says very clearly that the Bible is clear on this issue. It is not something that is consistent with the teaching of the Bible. The gay scholars are saying that that is how that is the structure and fabric of the Bible. It does not support homosexual practice. Now, some theologians say that it does, and that this is what we are seeing played out in denominations. The Church of England, slowly but surely, taking on the state ideology to the point where it's almost like it was in Russia and in Germany and in China, where the state church carries out the will of the government. That's what we're working towards. And what we're going to see increasingly is Christians moving away from such contamination, I would say.
Contamination?
Contamination of state ideology within the Christian.
Maybe it's the ideology of the people going to the church.
Sorry, Stephen, I missed you there.
Maybe it's the ideology of the people going to the church.
Well, ideology, whether it's, you know, yours or mine, has to be checked. We all have to look at it, and that's the importance of critique and debate. Mm. The sad thing about the protest last night was, we can't talk to each other. We have to stay in these polarized boxes. We cannot get down and say, okay, let's look at the evidence.
Well, that's interesting. Well, just in the context of you saying that you would like to talk to each other and there's all of this censorship and all of this kind of stuff, I should point out to our listeners this morning, because they wouldn't know unless I told them, that you have refused to engage this morning with John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project.
When?
So a man who's saying we can't talk to each other, you won't talk to our other guest.
When's that?
You've told our team.
What I said, Stephen, and really you need to ask your production people who contacted me, what I said was,
I'm talking to them right now.
Well, then what I said to them was, if it's going to be a shouting match between two people, that's not helpful. I have many times debated John.
So you will talk to John O'Doherty. Good. Here he is. John, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you make of what Mike has said?
Well, I mean, I think Mike's comments are unfortunate. Our protest was organized a number of weeks ago. Mike had a number of weeks to reach out to the organizers of that protest to talk to us, to engage with us.
Did you reach out with him, John?
Yeah, a number of times that we have sought
how?
To engage.
How did you do that, John?
Over email, Mike, and I have copies of the emails. You know, we're more than happy to...
Please send them to me because I honestly have not seen any email from you.
Okay.
What's very interesting, Mike, is that you didn't want to debate me this morning because you thought it was going to be a shouting match. You've had about 25 minutes to yourself. I have 2 minutes on the radio and you've interrupted me 3 times. Maybe allow somebody else
okay.
to engage.
Go ahead, John.
Last night, I think was a very unfortunate event. I'm hugely opposed to both core issues and the message that they were sharing last night because it's a very singular message, as a message we've been hearing for hundreds of years. It is that it is not okay to be gay. And that message costs lives, Stephen. It breaks up families and causes huge harm to LGBT people. But the biggest problem I have with what Mike has been saying this morning is this suggestion that it is only core issues or the ex-gay movement or conversion therapists who are willing to support a client who presents with unwanted sexual attraction. If someone comes to the Rainbow Project and says, I'm gay, I don't really want to be gay, we will work with that person and we recognise that a sexual orientation is an individual thing to each individual. We would never direct someone in what sexual orientation they should have. When you go to core issues, it's the opposite.
So, John, hold on.
They will only work with you if you want to change your sexual orientation.
Hold on, John.
And if you tell them
John, that's really interesting what you've just said. I've never heard you say it before. So if someone comes to the Rainbow Project and says, I don't like my sexuality, you said you will work with them. Now,
yes,
what does that mean?
We'll provide counselling services.
Which could... And where does it go if they still say, I don't want to be gay? Help me be straight. What are you going to say to them?
We'll tell them that that's just an impossible thing. And I think even from last night's film, what you see from Matthew, the person the film is about, while he has moved away from being gay in that he doesn't have sex with men or relationships with men anymore, he also stated that he doesn't experience attraction towards women and he hasn't had any relationships with women. Now, there are a number of people who I know in the LGBT community who, because of their faith, they know they're gay, but they choose not to have sexual relationships with people of the same sex.
John, do you defend the right?
Intimate relationships. They may have romantic relationships with people, but they personally choose to abstain from sex. The problem is, and it's not about an individual making that that decision for themselves.
But it is, John. So do you defend the right? Do you defend, John, the right of an individual to decide, for whatever reason, that they want to try to change their sexuality?
No.
You don't defend their individual choice, their individual right to try to do that for themselves?
I don't understand what you mean by change their sexual orientation.
Well, if they believe that conversion therapy could work, if they believe that they want to try it, do you defend their right to try it?
Well, I think it's very hard when you get down into the individual level. I don't have a problem with the person seeking the help. What I do have a problem with is the person who's purporting to provide that help. And I think the help that they're purporting to provide doesn't actually help people. It causes harm. And it's not just me that thinks that. It's the founders of the conversion therapy movement. It is the ex-wives of ex-gays who have later come out in life and saw their families be destroyed because of this. There are numerous people from Christian backgrounds, from conversion therapy backgrounds, from ex-gay backgrounds, who are out there calling for this process to be banned because of the harm that it causes, not just us in the LGBT community. You'd be very hard-pushed to find people who have been through that process and who are supportive of it. Obviously, we have people like Mike, but they're very few and far between. The vast majority of people who go through these therapies who are presented with this message that the only way to be biblically true, the only way to be accepted by your family or by your community is to move away from being gay because that is wrong.
Mike?
Well, I don't think that that is the case. I think that there are an increasing number of people. They're certainly reticent to come out there because the moment they do, they're told that somehow they haven't really achieved what they think they have because they're not where people say they should be. You talk about Matthew Grech. Well, Matthew's where he is. That's just where he is at this point. Who knows where he will be in 10 years' time? But he needs to be given the respect that is due to somebody who wants to choose their own pathway and needs the freedom to be able to do that. And I've given numerous contacts to journalists who speak off camera or, you know, privately to people who share their stories. It's not that they're not there. They are there, but it's very difficult to come out and talk about this because of the ongoing polarization around all of this.
Well, Mike, you have to accept that there may be people who have been involved in your organization and others who have experienced that change. You have to accept that there are an overwhelming number of LGBT people who have experienced harm, who experienced depression, who've engaged in suicidal behavior.
And equally, John, should you not accept that there may be some people for whom they think this is a better life for them?
Why do they think that, Stephen? That's the question that has to be asked. If you grow up in a faith community where you're told daily that it's wrong to be gay, even before you're a teenager and you even know what your sexual orientation is, if you know you're gay and speak to your family and they tell you that it is not acceptable and you cannot be part of that family if you are gay, if that family have been told by people like Mike that you can change your sexual orientation, the only thing that it takes is determination, and if it doesn't work, you're not determined enough. If you think you're going to lose your community by coming out as a gay person, this is the reality of the people who are presenting with this problem. They have heard a singularity of message that there is something wrong with them. They are suffering from a very issue, which is internalized homophobia.
John Rury writes to me from Derry this morning. He just sent me this email. And he says, Stephen, a genuine question for your panellists. Why do we ban so-called gay therapy, but at the same time offer treatment to transsexuals who believe they are born in the wrong body? Why do we not tell transsexuals to accept how they were born like we do gay men and women? Is gay conversion not the same as freely available transsexual conversion, says Rory?
No, it's not. And there are substantial differences. First of all, let's be clear. Conversion therapies cause harm. They cause death. They cause the loss of families and the loss of communities. I'm not just saying that. That is the people who have delivered this for decades, who have come out against it. Just 2 weeks ago, another conversion therapist who had been involved in this world for a very long time came out as gay and apologised for the harm that he had caused.
But let's address Rory's question this morning.
Let me go to the other side of it. Why gender affirmative support is different? Because that improves people's mental health. That stops people from dying from suicide. That makes people more happy and comfortable in who they are. That's why they're different. One causes harm and one has a hugely positive impact on a particular community.
Do you want to respond to that, Mike?
Well, I'd like to say two things. Number one, David Matheson's case, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have told you that's the direction he's going in. He changed tack. That's true. Here's the thing. Go and have a look at the case of Bob Bergeron, reported in 2012 in the New York Times, wrote a famous book about life at 40 as a gay man. The most positive qualified therapist in the USA for LGBT issues. He took his own life. Go and Google it and read it. Bob Bergeron. He took his own life and wrote on the cover page, "It's all a lie." So there is a case on the other side of somebody who checked out badly.
Maybe you can both stay there. We'll come straight back. 0330 80 55 55. Some of our callers would like to speak to you this morning. We'll take the news first with Keith at 9:35. Okay, thank you very much indeed. So protests outside this Presbyterian church last night. The church was the Townsend Street Presbyterian Church because of their decision to screen this film that we are talking about today. 0330 80 55 55. Brian in West Belfast. Go on, Brian. Morning to you.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I can only talk in simple terms, simple language. If I was born with a birthmark, I can't get rid of that birthmark. That's with me till the day I die. And how can anybody can get into the inner sanctum of somebody's mind, who this word conversion, they're trying to convert them. I have friends and I have relations who are gay. And the fact that they told people that they were and their families, the relief and the happiness they had in saying that, I don't know of anybody, I've never heard of anybody, because they were gay, they wanted help to be, they wanted to go go back to be in Hunter Shadrill? I've never heard that.
But do you defend someone's right, if they do feel like that, to seek this type of procedure?
Well, I defend the right if they really feel that way, but it's different. I don't know, there's ways and means of approaching this here, but I think it's a very, very, very small minority. If you're, Stephen, if you're born that way, and it will take some real magic conversion to change that person, I think it's be totally honest with you, Steve, I think it's a load of nonsense.
Bran, thank you. John and Eden. Morning, John.
Hello, Steve. Stephen, I was just listening to the programme there, and one of the things that struck me is, some of the most decent people in the world, lots of empathy and caring for people, are gay people. And there seems to be some whirlwind trying to put a label on them as such that there's something wrong. In fact, the point I was making was they're treating them as if they're addicts. If they're drug addicts or alcohol addicts, they're trying to give them some treatment, like a cold turkey treatment. And it's just spiraling out of control that they're going to affect.
John, if you suppressed, as Mike is saying some of these people tried to do, if you suppressed your sexual desire for years and years, what would that do to your head?
Well, that's where it was coming to. It has to eventually eat into your mental health issues. Not so much suppressing, but somebody telling you that you need to suppress it or you need to bury it. That's not helpful. That is the exact opposite. You need to be who you are.
John, thank you. Alan and Antrim. Morning, Alan.
Good morning. I think being gay is sinful, and it's against God's word. Hello?
I'm listening.
Oh, you're listening. And I think it's against God's word. And the only way you can get rid of gay is if you're on drugs.
Well, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about homosexuality and drugs, which are two different things.
Okay. It says in the Bible, we all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. And also, excuse me, Stephen. It says in the Bible,
love thy neighbour.
Love thy neighbour. Yes, I know it says love thy neighbour, but it says in the Bible, a husband should join himself a wife. You know.
Okay, Alan. Thank you. Here's David in North Belfast. Morning, David.
Hello.
Yes, David.
I'm just saying. But they're all saying there that if somebody's born gay, you shouldn't be trying to convert them to being non-gay. So what's the difference in somebody being born a man, trying to convert them to being a woman? It's the same thing.
So what are you saying? You're supporting Davidson this morning.
I'm saying if he's saying that you shouldn't convert somebody from being gay to being heterosexual, then you shouldn't convert somebody from being a man to a woman.
And I'll let John O'Doherty speak to you, David, in a second. But do you believe that homosexual people should seek therapy to be straight?
If that's what they want, yes. If they want to do it, yes.
And do you think that's remotely possible?
Well, you only know it's possible by the final outcome. If somebody goes for the therapy and it works for them, but that's like saying somebody can do depression. If they go for therapy and they come out of it, are you going to say that you can't help somebody that's depressed to be not depressed?
Okay, so if you think of the logic of what you're saying, David, right? You're saying that it might work for some people, okay?
Yeah.
All right? That it's possible to change your sexuality through treatment.
But you're changing.
So could you change your sexuality through treatment?
You can do it.
Could you?
Could I? I've never done it, and I've never wanted to do it.
But do you think it's possible?
You see people supposedly changing from a man to a woman. That's your sexuality, is it?
No, it's not. It's completely different.
Well, what is it?
It's not. It's nothing to do with sex or sexuality.
Yeah, it's your sexuality.
It's to do with gender. Gender is different than sexuality, David.
Right. So is there nobody that's ever...
So can I just explain the basics of that to you? And I'm not trying to be patronising, but the fact that you're getting that confusing, right? Confused about it. So when you get up in the morning and you consider yourself a man, you're not thinking about sex, are you?
But it's just your...
So when you go out to work, you're not thinking about sex. When you think to yourself, I'm male, you're not thinking about... When you're walking into a male toilet, you're not thinking about sex. So gender is different than sexuality. Sexuality is about desire and attraction. Being a man or being a woman is not.
Well, why did it change sex then? It says on your birth certificate, sex, male or female. That's sex. Not a word you said, it's not.
Come on, David. Now, come on.
So, Stephen, what you're doing, you're giving your opinion.
No, I'm not giving my opinion. I'm trying to state fact to you, mate. I'm not giving an opinion, but I promise you there's a difference between gender and sexuality, right?
Sorry? Does it say on the birth certificate sex?
Oh, come on. You know what sex is, but you know what sex is. Sex is not sex, as you're talking about it, and sexuality is not gender.
Right. Well, you tell me this here. Well, so you're going to say, if somebody says they're gay, that they shouldn't be allowed to try and not be gay?
That's not for me to say.
It's a simple yes or no.
That's not for me to say. It's not for me to give an opinion on that.
It's not for you to say what sex means then. You're able to give your opinion. I'm asking you, do you think if you don't want to be something, you shouldn't be it?
All I was trying to explore with you is, do you think it is possible, okay? Do you think it's possible for you to change your sexuality?
Can you tell me, is there people that's went through a conversion and come out the other side not gay?
Let me let John O'Doherty speak to you, John.
Oh, here's him.
Yeah, I mean...
No. And we apologise for that language. And David, you need to be respectful of the time of morning we're on, and we apologise for that. Go ahead, John.
I didn't say the word.
You did. Well, go on, John.
I think there are a number of... I think a number of people who have been through conversion therapies, have got married, have had relationships, and have come out later in life and talked about the huge harm that it has caused to them. There are a smaller number of people who've experienced change, like Mike, and who believe that change has been lifelong. For me, it's not about the individuals, and this is the biggest fallacy in all this, Stephen. In the LGBT community, we want you to be your most authentic self. We want you to be you and to celebrate you for being you. What we don't want is people going around saying that there's something wrong with being LGBT and reinforcing those.
Nobody has said that this morning. Nobody has said that.
No, they may not have said it this morning, but it is a very clear message. And if you look at the Core Issues website, they're very matter of fact about the fact that they don't work on an LGBT affirmative model because they don't believe that it's...
Yeah.
To be gay.
Let me let David speak to you, John.
Whatever he says, yeah.
Have you a question for John, David?
Yep.
Go ahead.
My question is, does he see anything wrong with anybody that's gay trying to be not gay? John, it's a yes or no answer. Yes or no?
It is not a yes or no answer because it's...
No, it's a yes or no.
Hold on. Now let him answer it as he wants to.
It is a complex issue because why is someone wanting to be straight? What is the reasoning? So absolutely. So that person is welcome to come to the Rainbow Project, welcome to access non-directive therapies where they have an opportunity to explore all of that, including why. We will never tell someone that there's something wrong with being LGBT, but ultimately people have the right to make decisions for themselves about the types of relationships that they want to have. And if they choose to have heterosexual relationships, then they're not going to be refused from our community. They're not going to be shunned.
Right, John's phone is breaking up. Colin in Bangor. Morning, Colin.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. You were at the event last night.
I was at the event. I went firstly to hear Matthew because I have a similar testimony to him.
You describe yourself as an ex-gay man, is that right?
Yes, in practice, yes.
So what does that mean?
It means I still have the feeling, the attraction to men, but I don't carry it out in practice. The word homosexual refers to the sexual act and not necessarily the inclination. So I prefer the term same-sex attraction, SSA. I would agree I'm attracted to the same sex, but because of my Christian beliefs, I don't carry it out.
And you're entitled to make that choice for for your life.
I believe the gay community should allow people to make that choice if they wish.
Well, you're part of the gay community if you're gay, you know?
Well, I'm part of the Christian community. That's the label I prefer.
Can I ask how old you are, Colin?
53.
And if, look, you phoned us.
Yes.
If any of these questions are personal to the extent that you don't want to answer them, then just say so and we'll move on, okay?
No problem.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So are you saying as a 53-year-old man that you never want to have sex ever again in your life?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I, because of my Christian belief, that I have made a choice not to practice the sexual, physical side of homosexuality. I am celibate by definition, and that's because of my faith.
So that's what I'm saying. So yeah. If presumably, if you're... So are you saying that you will never have sex again with a man?
I don't plan to, no.
And what do you think that would do to...
That's a conscious decision.
Sure. Which you're entitled to.
Which I'm entitled to.
What do you think that will do to your... Do you think you'll be walking around frustrated?
I do, but I believe it's a cross I have to bear. It's like a sacrifice in a way for my faith.
And have you abstained from sex for long up to now?
Like 10 years.
I haven't had sex in 10 years?
No.
What's that feel like?
Well, I have been ill as well. So some people say, well, he can't have sex because he's terminally ill. But
sure.
That's not the case. It's a matter of my decision.
Of course it is. And there's
my
no one...
It's meant more to me than than sexual pleasure or whatever you want to call it. The physical
sure.
side of life is less important than the spiritual side of life for me. Especially being terminally ill, my faith meant more to me. And, you know, that was helping me through kidney transplant you were talking about last night.
Sure.
And amyloidosis, which Martin McGuinness died of, which I have, facing a battle on two sides. And it was my faith that helped me, not my sexuality, you know.
And Colin, did you go through... I think you're the most powerful call we've had today, by the way. And thank you for calling us. Did you go through any period of your life where you thought to yourself... You can have your deep faith, and you can explore your sexuality and
yes.
feel free to do so.
Yes, there have been periods in my life. I became a Christian at 15, so it's a very early age. I wasn't sexually aware, at least not practicing anything. So my sexuality came after my faith. So there was a period where I wanted to explore that, and then much later I decided the two weren't compatible. So I did try leading the two. And I couldn't balance the two, you know.
Is it possible, Colin, that the two are compatible? That God would love you for who you are? And is it possible that you might be happier? Because you're saying you're still attracted to men.
Yeah.
So is it possible? Like, for example, would you go into a relationship with a man but just abstain from sex?
No.
Okay.
I've thought about that. And I've heard of people that have done that. Ministers in England who live with their partners, and I've tried to figure if that is a possibility for me. But whether it's possible to do that is another matter in practicality. And it sends out a sort of message that you're still in a gay relationship. And it says you shouldn't lie with a man as with a woman. And I can't get around that. Even if I wanted to, it's not what I think or what I feel or what I believe. It's what God says. And that sounds very fundamentalist. But that's the bottom line, really, and I can't get around that.
Are you lonely?
Yes, I can be lonely. That's being honest. It's not an easy step for any person to deny their feelings or sexuality. My mother would even say to me, Colin, don't be so hard on yourself. You deserve love. You know, she knows I'm a sociable person. I'm a warm person. I'm a friendly person. And she doesn't like to see me on my own. So it isn't an easy path. And sometimes I don't feel the support in the church. Churches are very family orientated, so you can be kind of isolated because you're single, on your own, maybe don't fit in. So, yes, but as I say, it's my faith keeps me going, and not my sexuality.
Why do you think God made you gay?
I don't believe he made me gay. I don't believe that.
What do you believe?
Well, I believe he created me as a perfect human being. All babies are born into the world just as little babies, and I suppose we make choices along the way, you know. I've been attracted to same sex from a very early age, as young as I can remember. I can't explain that.
Does that not suggest to you that that's who you are, that's how you were born? Does it not suggest to you, Colin, that your sexuality...
Not if not if really
is natural. If that's
that,
as far back as you can remember, does it not suggest to you that that is who you are?
It's certainly something I struggle with. I don't define sexuality as my definition or my label. It's something that I have deal with. It's something that I feel, but it's not my definition. I don't feel that's the only definition that I have.
Of course it's not.
God has created us all equal, and I believe I've been created as I am, but I think we make choices as well, even at a very young age. You know, I feel that when thoughts come into your head and you're attracted, I mean, there's some sort of choice there too. But you want those thoughts and you encourage them, you know.
You think you encourage them?
I think when you're young, you know, you either want the thoughts or enjoy them or whatever. I can't explain when you're very young, but there's not. I'm not.
I meant now.
Yes.
Are you happy?
I am happy. Happier than I was being a gay man. When I was exploring the gay scene, I found the gay scene at sometimes also lonely, and sometimes people could let you down, you could get into relationships that were unhappy. I ended up being blackmailed and all sorts of things, and it wasn't all the effervescent lifestyle that it can be advertised to be.
That happens to everyone, Colin, though, in terms, I don't mean being blackmailed and things, but, you know, unhappy relationships.
Well,
can I ask you this? If you met someone and you fell in love, have you fallen in love before?
Yes, my ex-partner in England died in November on his 50th birthday, and that upset me. And
so you know what love feels like, Colin?
I do. It is. It's just.
It's a wonder. It's an incredible feeling, isn't it?
Yes. It might surprise some Christian people and some heterosexual people, but gay people love just as deeply as they do.
Okay.
People often think that's not the case.
So, you've experienced love,
yes.
And most of us are lucky enough to know what that feels like. It's an incredible feeling to love another human being.
Yes.
Why deprive yourself of the possibility of doing that again?
Because I know the Christian faith to be true. I've got that conviction, and therefore I can see the incompatibility of the two lifestyles. Although I want, that's my want, Stephen, is to want a partner,
sure.
To want not to be alone, to have somebody there. But I can't square it up with what is taught in my Christian faith. And the same would go for Muslim faith and for Jewish faith in many cases.
And does that not make you question your faith?
All faith, they think, do. But,
does that not make you question your faith?
No, it doesn't make me question my faith.
Not at all? I'm not saying your faith is wrong,
no.
But I'm saying, do you never think to yourself, hold on a moment, does God want me to be alone? And if I meet someone who I fall in love with, I can't fall in love with them. And in order to have my faith, I have to be lonely, alone, can't ever love again, can't ever have sex again. And yet heterosexual people can. Do you think that's the rules your God has set down?
Fortunately, it is the case, yes. But I've also received, compensation through the faith in that I do have a happiness, I do have an inner joy, I have a spiritual inner peace, which compensates and often can be deeper than physical love and earthly love, human love. Human love can let you down, and we've been hurt as well. That's another aspect. God doesn't let you down. He doesn't hurt me in the same way. It is a more reliable love. Even if it's spiritual, not as tangible as human love. Human love can fade. And that's the message that Matthew was given last night. It's the great love of God, and it came across wonderful in the way they sang and worshipped in the church. And it's such a pity that the demonstrators outside just didn't come in for 5 minutes just to see what had changed those people's lives.
I think you've been very, very powerful this morning in You've been interesting, really interesting, and I mean that. Colin, I wish you all the best. Thank you very much, sir.
All the best to you now. Bye-bye.